Dalin Amid Bay, 7 lines in the top, last word on the line. It's an Ika. Okay, first of all, the Mishnah, but there's a machlekes between the Chachamim and Rameir, if Edom's Zemimim, if they pay and get Malkus together or not. The Chachamim say they do, I'm sorry, Rameir says you get Malkus and you have to pay. In other words, if they Edom Zemimim want to make somebody pay money, and then they become Edom Zemimim, so then they have to pay money because that's what they wanted to do, plus they get Malkus. Chachamim say anytime you pay, you don't get Malkus. Okay, then the same thing the Mishnah said, what happens if they testify that the guy is obligated to get Malkus, and then they become Edom Zemimim? So according to the mayor, you get 80. Okay, and the Chachamim say you get only 40. So the Gemara asked the question, we understand what the Rabbanan say because it says the Shah say only one for one sin, you get punished, not for two. But why does the mayor hold you get two? So Ula answered, and this is what the Gemara is continuing now. Ula answered, we learn it out from Meitzi Shemra. If somebody accuses his wife of committing adultery before they got married after the Kedushin, so it says they have to pay and they get Malkus. Okay? So what do you see from there? That you can get Malkus and pay at the same time. So the Gemara said over there is different because Edom Zemim is Kenas. That's what the Gemara said. Now the Gemara says as follows. Ika the Masn Law the Ula, some people learn Ula's case on a different din. What's the din of Ula? The Tanya says in the Brais as follows. By Korban Pesach, you have to eat the Korban Pesach that night. And the Torah says, Leisisiru Mimena Ad Beker, you're not allowed to leave any meat of the Korban Pesach to the morning. Vaneisim Mimena Ad Beker, and if you leave it over until the morning, Ba'esh Tesevi, you have to burn it. What does it mean? Why does the Torah put a positive mitzvah after the negative mitzvah? Because what does the Torah say? You're not allowed to leave it over, and if it's left over, burn it. Yeah. Why does the Torah say a negative mitzvah followed by a positive mitzvah? So it says to teach us because lema shein leik and olive because you don't get malchus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Meaning, there's a general rule in the Torah, a lav, which is connected and could be rectified by a positive mitzvah, okay, you don't get malchus for the negative commandment. For instance, the Torah says, don't steal, return the stolen article. So therefore the din is, if you steal, gzela, you don't get malchus. What?
I'll be like you guys, late as usual.
I beg your pardon?
The rabbi is never
late. No, I know that, but most of the Lubavitcher things I've always been late.
So now you are official Lubavitcher.
That's right. I'm an honorary Lubavitcher.
No. Okay, so it says, the Torah says anytime there's a negative commandment that could be fixed by a positive mitzvah, you don't get malchus for the negative commandment. The Torah says don't steal. If you steal, return what you stole. So you the fact that you could return what you stole, so then you don't get malchus.
If you steal and you don't return it, and you get caught, you don't
as get long, now, there's a whole thing in the Gemara, it's not for now, but there's a whole thing in the Gemara, what happens if the object is still there, then for sure I don't get malchus, because even 10 years later I could return it. What happens if the object was destroyed, and now I can't return it? So that's a whole separate issue. But now the Gemara is not going into the details of that concept. The Gemara is just saying a statement. Any lav, which is could be fixed by a positive mitzvah, you don't get malchus. Now here the Torah says, don't leave over any of the meat until the morning. And what's left over, burn. So the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda says, why does the Torah put the positive aspect after the negative commandment? To teach us that you don't get malchus. Rabbi Kiva Emer, Rabbi Kiva argues and says, Leimin Hashem Uzeh, that's not the reason. I agree with you, you don't get Malkus if you leave over the Korban Pesach meat. I agree with you. But not because of the reason you said, because you can fix it by fulfilling a positive mitzvah, but Lav De'ein Be'maisa, it's a Lav that has no action to it. V'chol Lav She'ein Be'maisa, and any Lav that doesn't have an action to it, and like an olive, you don't get malchus. Meaning, as this again, these are all issues. By the way, the Gemara later on, pages later, are going to discuss this. The Gemara basically saying two rules: if a lav has no action, you can't get malchus. What does this mean? The Torah says, don't do something. You can get punished for an action. You can't get punished for something you don't do. For instance, the Torah says, don't eat chazer. Somebody eats chazer, they did an action, they can get punished. The Torah says, don't leave over the meat until the morning. I didn't leave over the meat, I just didn't get rid of it. It's a lav, there's no action to it.
Don't steal is the same thing?
No, that's an action. Stealing is an action. Nobody, they're both agreeing on the concepts. Both people agree that on certain type of negative commandments, on lav, you don't get malchus. One is if there's no action. One is if it's connected to a positive mitzvah. Both agree. That's the thing the Gemara is going to learn out later from. Nobody argues about that. The question is, when the Torah says that don't leave over the meat until the morning, and if you do, burn it, you don't get malchus. Is it because it's a lav that has no action? Or is it because it's a lav that's connected to a positive mitzvah? Now, the Gemara asks, I mean, Bechlau, but the fact that Rabbi Yehuda has to say that the reason you don't get malchus is because it's connected to a positive mitzvah, that means without that aspect, you would get malchus. Aye, there's no action to it. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get malchus because you fix it by a positive mitzvah. Which means if you didn't have the positive mitzvah, you would get malchus. Aye, it's a lav that has no action. You're just leaving over meat, you're not doing anything. So the Gemara said, Mechlal, Rabbi Yehuda suffer from here, you see that Rabbi Yehuda would hold. Lav shein be maisim. An action that has, and a lav that has no action. Like in all of you would get malchus. So the Gemara's question me, Nolly, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that out from? Because logically, if there's no action, how can you get punished for not doing anything? Right? Like we know, if you don't put on tefillin, you don't get punished. Why? Because I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything wrong. I maybe didn't do what I was supposed to do, but I didn't do anything wrong. If you automatically transgress, I'll give you another example. The Gemara says, get rid of the chametz. Don't see chametz. Tashbisu samer, get rid of it. It's also a lav. For instance, somebody leaves chametz in his house in Pesach. There's a whole taste of some psachim about this. With the Rambam on this. I'll give you an example. What happens? The Torah says you can't have chametz in your house in Pesach. Yeah, you know how to have chametz. And the Torah says destroy the chametz. What happens if somebody just doesn't do anything and they have chametz in their house over Pesach?
You can't eat it at that house.
No, but I'm saying they just have in the closet. They're not eating it. Wow. You're not allowed to own chametz and Pesach. You're not allowed to own chametz and Pesach. What happens if somebody just left the chametz there and it came Pesach and he didn't? The thing is, you wouldn't get malchus. Why? Did you do anything? You didn't do anything. Lashes. You didn't do anything. If a guy went out on Pesach and bought chametz, then he did an action that everybody say he would get whipped. Because he did an active action of buying chametz, which is forbidden to have. But if a guy doesn't buy chametz, he happens to have chametz, and he didn't get rid of it, and now he owns chametz during Pesach. It's a lav shein b'maisa. And if a lav that doesn't have an action, you don't get chametz.
He could have sold it to a
non-Jew. See, he could have, but he didn't, and he didn't do an action that made him sin.
But isn't it a sin to have it?
Yeah, but what did you do? Did you buy it? It
he
happened to be
it,
there.
He didn't buy it. It just happened. He
so yeah,
he
but
didn't get rid of it.
But
that's
it's
what
a,
he did.
But it's a lav that has no action.
Yeah, I understand.
So
that.
If you hold lav shein by maisa, a negative commandment that you didn't do an action to transgress, you don't get malchus. You wouldn't get malchus. Now, if a guy went and Pesach chol meid any time and bought chametz, so that's an action. Then for sure he would get malchus.
What do you say?
But he sinned.
He sinned.
Yeah, he sinned.
It's a lot, but you don't get punished for it.
You don't get punished. Well,
if a guy leaves over the meat overnight, he also sinned. The Torah says don't leave the meat of the Korban Pesach overnight.
Yes.
You get an Aveda.
Why don't you get punished for it?
Because they said you can't get punished for something you don't do.
But he sinned.
If somebody didn't put on tefillin, they also got a sin. But they didn't. They don't get punished. Because you didn't do something.
But we don't know if they get punished for this or not. Because there's no law saying...
We're talking about Besdin down here.
Okay.
Down here. Okay. Do you get lashes? Do you get malchus? Don't you get malchus? But the Gemara is saying like as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says, why by the meat of the Korban Pesach don't you get malchus? Because there's a positive mitzvah connected to it. Which means without that, you would get malchus. It's a lav shem b'maisa. There's no action. So from here it implies that Rabbi Yehuda would hold the lav that there's no action, you would get malchus. So the Gemara says, Minoli, where does he learn it out from? Where do we see in Torah a lav that you don't do an action and you get punished for it? So the Gemara says, Amr Ula, Gamer Mimetzi Shemra. He learns it out from defaming your wife. That story when she committed adultery before that. Ma Mimetzi Shemra. And they might just say there's no action, it's only speech. And speech is not action.
Whoa,
one second. Like in all of you get Malchus, okay? Avko lav shem b'maisa, and so we learn out from there, any lav that has no action, you don't get Malchus. I'm sorry, you do get Malchus. Just in Meitzi Shemra, where you didn't do an action, you just spoke.
Yeah.
And now, the Gemara is differentiating between words and action. Even though in many respects, words are action, but not in all halachas word action. If I say I'm going to put on tefillin, it's not action.
But if you defame your wife,
that's words,
and you speak it, you're moving your lips.
No,
that's action.
For Lashon Hara, you get Malchus?
No matter what you say, you don't get Malchus for that?
Well, by Meitzi Shemra, the Gemara says, the Torah says, you do get Malchus. So, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says, Ulu wants to learn from Meitzi Shemra, just like over there, it's only words, no action. And you get Malchus. So from there, Rabbi Yehuda holds the entire Torah, a lav that there's no action, you also get Malchus. Why over here by the meat, doesn't he get Malchus? Because there's a positive mitzvah connected to it. And because you can rectify the negative by the positive mitzvah, burning it, so then you wouldn't get Malchus. But without that, he holds, Rabbi Yehuda holds, according to Ula, meanwhile, lav shem b'maisa, if there's no action, you will get Malchus.
Somebody says they kill somebody, not only they don't get punished, but they're not even believed.
Right. Yeah, but here we're saying a guy speaks. If a guy lies, he get Malchus. He don't get Malchus for lying, even though the Torah says you know to lie.
But if he eats chazir,
that's an action.
That's an action.
Right.
So that he can be.
But if they lie under oath, that's a different category.
Well, the Gemara is going to get into that now. In fact, Tosfos says, why couldn't he learn now from Edom Zeimimin? Edom Zeimimin is also only verbal, and they still get Malchus.
Yeah.
Tosfos says, why does he have to go krich to Meitzi Shema? The Gemara could have said Edom Zeimimin are only words, they're testifying, and still they get Malchus. So Tosfos says, well, it's clear from over there, whatever. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to refute Ula's understanding. Ula is making a statement, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that for Meitzi Shemra, which gets Malchus, even though there's no action, you learn out for the entire Torah that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a lav that has no action, you get Malchus. Now, the Gemara is going to try to ruin the premise. And this is an important, as we go into the Gemara now, it's not hard Gemara, it's a typical Gemara, okay? Where you have to use the head a little bit. If you want to learn out A from B, or in our case, you want to learn out lav shem b'maitse from Meitzi Shemra. Just like Meitzi Shemra is no action, you get Malchus. Every lav that has no action, you get Malchus. But if you could find the uniqueness of Meitzi Shemra, that's a unique thing, then you can't learn out everything else from that, because it's not equal to everything else. And everything else is not equal to Meitzi Shemra. Right? So the Gemara is going to try to show that you really can't learn out from Meitzi Shemra, that because Meitzi Shemra, which is not an action, it's words, defaming the wife. You don't get malchus doesn't mean that all over the Torah, any action, any lav without an action, you get malchus. You can't learn it out. What's uniqueness about Meitzi Shemra? Meitzi Shemra is unique. Shekem Leika Mishalim. You get malchus and you pay. So you see, Meitzi Shemra is so powerful that you even pay. So therefore, maybe, you know why Meitzi Shemra gets malchus? Even though there's no action, because it's a real bad sin. Where do we see it's a real bad sin? Not only do you get malchus, you also have to pay. So maybe that's what makes that unique.
Is that only defaming one's wife, or no, defaming somebody else too?
No. The case over there is an exclusive case. Remember, like we learned, that Kedushin used to be...
Well, you have to pay for monetary damage and all that.
No. Kedushin was 12 months before they got married. Once the woman had Kedushin, she's forbidden for the entire world. She couldn't live with her husband until they did the chuppah. Now we do everything together, right? The Ariat Mekadesh is in the chuppah. The case in the Torah is, the guy does Kedusha with his psula wife. Well, he thought she was a psula, a virgin. 12 months later he gets married to her, and then he sees she's not a psula. And he says, I have proof that you committed adultery within the last year. So then is, if they can disprove the husband that he's lying, and they can show that she is a psula, so then the Gemara says, I mean the Torah says, the guy gets malchus, and he has to pay a fine to the woman.
To the woman?
To the woman. To the father.
The woman of the father.
Father, well, it depends how old she is.
And he can't divorce her.
Right.
So it's three things.
Well, that's not... that might be a punishment to you.
Might be.
Now...
This is that Ula, right?
Huh?
This is the Ula?
Ula says, for Meitzi Shemra, over there there's no action, and yet you get malchus. So Ula wants to learn from there for the entire Torah, any lav that has no action, you still would get malchus. So the Gemara asks, but you can't compare Meitzi Shemra. Meitzi Shemra is a unique din. And the proof that it's so severe and special, because not only do you get malchus, you also pay. That normally, when you eat chazi, you don't get malchus and pay.
No.
You just get malchus. So just because Meitzi Shemra gets malchus, you can't learn out everything else from Meitzi Shemra. Right? So the Gemara says, Elam Rishlokish. Rishlokish says, you're right. We're not going to learn it out from Meitzi Shemra. We're going to learn it out from Edom Zaymimin. Like we just said before, my Edom Zaymimin lav shame be maisa. Just like Edom Zaymimin, there's no action, all there is testimony. And yet, like in all of you get malchus, av kol lav shame be maisa. The same thing, every negative commandment, that there's no action, you also get malchus. So the Gemara says, oh, you're right. Meitzi Shema, we can't learn it out from. We're going to learn it out from Edom Zaymimin. Edom Zaymimin don't do an action, just words. And yet they get malchus. So from there we learn out that any negative commandment, even if there's no action, you would still get malchus. But the Gemara asks, no, but Edom Zaymimin is unique. Edom Zaymimin is unique. What does it mean? Mal Edom Zaymimin, what if Edom Zaymimin, you know why they get malchus? Because Ein Tzarech Hasra, they don't need any prior warning. If you eat chazer, you don't get malchus, unless if you were warned by witnesses before, don't do it. Edom Zaymimin is probably the only commandment in the Torah that you get punished without being warned. It's not that the witnesses came to the guy and said, if you lie in your testimony, you're going to be... Nobody does that. It doesn't happen. Yet the Torah says Edom Zaymimin get punished. Okay? So maybe the fact that Edom Zaymimin are unique, that they're unique, that they're so severe that they get punished even without warning, maybe that's why they get malchus even though there's no action. But how do I learn out from there for the whole Torah? What?
Isn't the fact that they put them under oath is a warning?
They don't put them under oath. In Torah there's no oath like in civil court.
They don't like to make people swear?
No, witnesses come, they don't swear, they testify. It's not like over here. If it would be under oath, you might be that would be maybe a form of test of warning. Here it's not; they don't do that in Torah law.
But there are oaths, but not for these.
The witnesses never swear.
Somebody
basically
swears and get out of
the
it.
The litigant swears, but not the witnesses. The witnesses basically come and testify, and if they become Edom Zaymimin, that they were proved liars, they get malchus, even though they were never warned. So again, the Gemara is asking, maybe Edom Zeimimim get malchus even though there's no action to it, because it's so severe that they get malchus without it. Okay? Now, in order to go to the next piece of Gemara, the Gemara is going to answer, okay, you know where we learn it out from? Meitzi Shemra and Edom Zeimimim together. This is a classic example of what Gemara is all about. This is very interesting. Again, we want to learn out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Ula, that any lav that has no action, you don't get punished. So Gemara says, okay, let's learn it out from Meitzi Shemra. So Gemara says, no, you can't learn it out from Meitzi Shemra, because Meitzi Shemra has a unique strictness to it that they get malchus and pay. So you can't learn out everything else. So Gemara says, okay, let's learn it out from Meitzi Shemra. I mean, from Edom Zeimimim. From Edom Zeimimim. Because Edom Zeimimim also no action, and you get malchus. So Gemara says, no, you can't learn out from Edom Zeimimim, because Edom Zeimimim also have uniqueness. Also have a uniqueness. What's their uniqueness? They don't need to be warned. Right? So, but it, so the Gemara's original question is, by Meitzi Shemra, maybe the fact that they pay and get malchus, that's what causes them to get malchus in the Ein B'Maisa, if there's no action. When the Gemara goes to Edom Zeimimim, and the Gemara refutes it, maybe Edom Zeimimim are strict, because they don't need warning, and maybe that's why they get malchus, even though there's no action. So they're stricter than the whole Torah. So the Gemara says, you know what, we're going to learn out from both together. Meitzi Shemra and Edom Zeimimim have one thing in common. Both, there's no action, and yet they get whipped. Now, are you asking Meitzi Shemra as a uniqueness? But that uniqueness Edom Zeimimim doesn't have, and it still gets malchus. You're going to tell me Edom Zeimimim has a uniqueness, but Meitzi Shemra doesn't have that uniqueness of Edom Zeimimim, and they still get whipped. So what do you see from both things together? Both things together teach me each one's uniqueness is not what's causing them to get malchus. Because the uniqueness of Meitzi Shemra, Edom Zeimimim doesn't have, and they still get whipped. The uniqueness of Edom Zeimimim is not what Meitzi Shemra has, and they still get whipped. What's the common denominator of Meitzi Shemra and Edom Zeimimim together? Both are actionless, no action, and they still get malchus. You're going to ask me, but Meitzi Shemra is unique because you get paid and you pay due. Edom Zeimimim will prove that that's not what the strictness that's making it happen. Because Edom Zeimimim don't have the strictness of Meitzi Shemra, and yet they get malchus and lav shem b'maisa. Edom Zeimimim has a uniqueness, and maybe that's what's causing it to be get malchus. But Meitzi Shemra doesn't have that uniqueness, and you get malchus anyway. So between both of them, you learn out that Meitzi Shemra and Edom Zeimimim both have no action, and yet that we get malchus.
That's the common denominator?
Yeah. And that's, it's called Atzadah Shava Shabem. The common denominator between both of them is that they both are actionless, no action, and they still get whipped. I refuted it. A has a uniqueness. Maybe that's what's causing it. But the fact that B doesn't shows that A's uniqueness is not what's making it happen. B has a strictness that A doesn't have, but the fact that A doesn't have it shows that B's uniqueness is not what's making it get malchus.
Well, that's not true. Each one has its own uniqueness, and that uniqueness causes it. So they may not have the other uniqueness, but they have their own uniqueness.
Yeah, but is A's uniqueness the only thing that causes it?
Why not?
Because B doesn't have that uniqueness.
Yeah, but it has its own.
So
either if you have A or B, then you'll get
the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to answer that. The Gemara is going to say, one opinion doesn't learn like this. Right? The Chachamim that say, the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, Rabbi Akiva, yeah? That says that you don't get malchus on lav shem b'maisa. The Gemara learns it out from these two things together. Rabbi Akiva is going to answer in the Gemara that you're right, but each one has a uniqueness. And Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, I don't care what each one has a uniqueness, but A's uniqueness is not causing it, and B's uniqueness is not causing it. So therefore, I don't care that each one has uniqueness. So what if they have uniqueness? Is this uniqueness causing Malchus? No. And the proof of it is because the other one doesn't have that uniqueness, and yet it still gets Malchus.
So what does cause it?
Huh?
What causes it to get Malchus?
Well, that's the question of the Gemara. Can we learn out from unique things for the entire Torah? Well, what the halacha is, I mean, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is lav she'im b'maisi, you don't get malchus. Torah is a very strange book, in case you didn't know. The Torah sometimes says a law by one din, and from that din we learn out for everything else. You know, when you say in the morning, you're b'shmal, b'shleish yetzim, midis, atin, deshes, kavachem, egzer, shav, binyanav. These are all various ways of learning Torah. Okay? Now, the Torah, many times, because it's concise and short, and the Torah wants us to learn, so many times, the Torah will say a din in one place, and from that place, we learn out for the whole Torah. And this you have all over the Gemara. There are dinim that the Torah mentions by one din, and from that din, we learn out for the whole Torah. But the problem is, if that din has a certain uniqueness that nothing else has, you can't learn out everything else from this din, because this din is unique. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometimes what the Gemara does, it says, well, we find another din that has the same din, but the Gemara says, but that also has a uniqueness that nothing else has. So the Gemara says, you know what? Let's put both dinim together. A has a uniqueness, but obviously that's not what's doing it, because B doesn't have that uniqueness and still has the same din. Now, to get back to our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is trying to figure out, or Ula is trying to figure out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, from where do we know that a lav that has no action, you don't get Malchus? Because logically you shouldn't. Logically, you can't be punished for what you don't do. If you didn't do anything, you can't be punished for something you didn't do. Why? I'll explain to you why. According to Chassidus, it makes much more sense. When a person transgresses a negative commandment, I'm going to speak in coarse language to understand it. If somebody eats chazer, they get dirty. Spiritually. There's a spiritual impurity. When you do something, when you play with dirt, you get dirty. If you get dirty, you got to get clean. How does the neshama get clean, or the body get clean for the aveda it did? You get malchus, cleans you. That's the concept of malchus. Malchus is not a punishment. Malchus is a cleansing process. That's the concept of malchus. It's in Torah, there's no damnations. In Torah, there is a concept. You sinned, you became impure, you need to be cleansed. Gehenim is a big hot washing machine. What the cycle said at hot, 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 you did an aveda during your lifetime, and you didn't do tshuva to clean it. So now you come up to Gan Eden, and the neshama comes up there, it's full of blemishes and dirt, spiritual, ruchnistic dirt. You need to be clean to go to Gan Eden. So you have to go to the shower, the hot bath. What is that? Gehenim. In this world, this malchus is a cleansing process. If I don't play with mud, I don't get dirty. If you didn't do an action, so how did you get impure if you didn't do an action? So logically, a lav that has no action, you shouldn't be punished for. What did I do? I didn't get impurity on me because I didn't do anything to make me impure. If I leave over the meat of the Korban Pesach overnight, or I didn't just get rid of my chametz, but I didn't buy chametz, I didn't do chametz, I didn't do anything. The chametz is in my house, I just slept. I slept through Pesach. Yeah? Why should I wasn't even home. I went away on vacation, but I didn't sell the chametz. I didn't do anything. I didn't buy chametz. I didn't do anything. The Torah says, get rid of it, and I didn't. But that's a positive mitzvah that I didn't keep. So the Gemara says, can you get whipped for that? Logically not. Logically, you can't get Logically, you can't get punished for something you didn't do. Now Rabbi Yehuda comes along with a brainstorm, and he says, you know why when you leave the meat overnight you don't get punished? Because there's a positive mitzvah connected to it. Lava nita klase. Which means though, so Rabbi Yehuda, that's why you don't get punished. Like this, you would get malchus. Why don't they get malchus? Because you can fix it by burning what you left over. So the Gemara says that means, without that, you would get malchus. You didn't do an action. Why should he get malchus? So Ul is trying to figure out where Rabbi Yehuda learns it out from, that even though you didn't do an action, you're going to get punished anyway. Because logically, Torah would say you don't get punished. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda says you do get malchus for a non-action. So he has to learn it out from somewhere. So first the Gemara says, we're learning out from Eitzi Shemra. The guy defames his wife. It's not an action, it's only verbal. And yet he gets malchus. So let's learn out for the entire Torah from that din. Just like that din has no action and you get punished. Same thing, every din in the Torah that has no action, you get punished. So the Gemara says, you can't learn it out from there. Because Eitzi Shemra is a unique din. What's the uniqueness? You get malchus and pay. So maybe Meitzi Shemra is a unique din that you can't learn out from there for the rest of the book. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? We'll learn it out from something else. Eidim Zemim. Eidim Zemim have no action and you get malchus. So from there we'll learn out that every lav in the Torah where there's no action, you still get malchus. So the Gemara says, but you can't learn it out from Eidim Zemim because Eidim Zemim also have a uniqueness. What's their uniqueness? They're the only sin in the Torah you don't have to be warned for. So how can I learn out every negative commandment where you do have to be warned that you would also get malchus if there's no action? So the Gemara is going to answer this. We're up to now. The Gemara is going to, we're going to put both things together. Both things have a common denominator.
Malchus.
To go? There's a common denominator. That what? They both have no action, and you get punished. This one has uniqueness, but obviously that's not what's making it happen, because the other one doesn't have that uniqueness, and it still gets punished. This one has uniqueness, but putting them both together, the common denominator is no action, and they get malchus. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara answers now, Meitzi Shemra Yechiach. Meitzi Shemra will prove that lashes is not give only by something you don't need warning for. The chazer adin, and the reasoning goes back and forth. This nature is not like this nature, meaning meitzi shemra is not like Adam Zaymerman. And Adam Zaymerman is not like meitzi shemra. But hatzada shava shebehem. What's the common characteristic, or in modern day language, the common denominator between both? They're both lav shem b'maisa, the like it all of, and you get malchus. I've called lav shem b'maisa, the same thing, any positive, negative mitzvah, that there's no action, you still get malchus. So that's what the Gemara is proving. But the Gemara is not done yet. The Gemara says, but ma'ala tzad ha'shava ben, but I'll show you a common strictness that both have together. Eidim Zeimimin and Meitzi Shemra. That they're both kenas. They're both fine. They're both a fine. Not they're both fine. They're both a fine. Kenas. So how do you learn out the rest of Torah from unique dinim of fines? So Gemara says, only kasha. That's not a question. Because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold it. Rabbi Kiva, who says, Eidim Zeimimin is a kenas. That Rabbi Kiva said before in the Gemara, Eidim Zeimimin is not monetary, it's a knas. But if Rabbi Yehuda holds not the Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Yehuda says Eidim Zeimimin is a monetary compensation, then it's not knas. Then you could learn it out from them. So the Gemara asks, what you guys asked, but both have one thing in common, that they both have a uniqueness that nothing else has. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not a question. Why? Like we said before, Rabbi Yehuda holds, if each one has their own uniqueness, it's not going to make it or break it. Because obviously A's uniqueness is not making it, because B doesn't have that uniqueness and it still gets Malkus. B's uniqueness doesn't get it because A doesn't have the uniqueness. The reader says, unless if you're going to find me a common denominator that makes these two different than everything else, one thing that makes them different than everything else, fine. Otherwise, it's not a question. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, according to this, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, that lav shein be maisi, you do not get Malkus. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to our Gemara, lav shein be maisa, a lav without an action, you will get Malkus from. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's what he holds.
And that's what we hold.
No, we hold you do get Malkus. No, I'm sorry.
No,
you don't get Malkus. Rabbi Yehuda says you do, we hold you don't.
But Akiva, what about
Akiva? Rabbi Kiva holds you do.
You do.
That's what we hold.
No, keep going back. Rabbi Kiva says no.
No, okay.
It's very fine. Huh?
Yeah, well, if you have to pay, you have to pay. But if somebody, according to Agamar, leaves over Chametz, he will not get Malkus. Okay, now the Gemara asks, the Gemara is going back to the original Gemara. I mean, not the original, what we just learned before this whole thing. It's going back to the argument between Rabbanan and Rav Meir in the Mishnah. Rav Meir says, you get Malkus and you pay. Right? Adam Zayim, get Malkus and they pay. Chachamim hold not. So the Gemara says, "V'rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, hi leisanecha v'reyat shokim me darish pei. What are the chacham luchere? The pasuk is a negative commandment that you're not allowed to testify falsely, right? So why did the chacham in the Mishnah say, kol ha'meshalim ein aleike? If you pay, you don't get malchus, right?" But luchera, they transgressed a negative commandment of lying falsely, which was one of the Ten Commandments. How come they don't get Malkus? So the Gemara says, that's not to teach us that you get a negative commandment. Ahomi boile, it's to teach us that hazara le'edim zeimimim. How do we know that the concept of edim zeimimim is forbidden? How do we know edim zeimimim you're not allowed to do? How do we know it can't be an edim zeimimim? How do we know you can't lie in witnesses? Because it says, you're not allowed to testify falsely. So I need the pasuk not to tell me you get Malkus. I need the pasuk to tell me you're not allowed to lie in under witnesses. So the Gemara asks Rav Meir, if so, how does Rav Meir know that you're not allowed to be an Edom Zeimimim? The Torah can't say you're punished if the Torah doesn't say you're not allowed to do it. Right? The Torah says by Edom Zeimimim, if they were Edom Zeimimim, they get punished. Now, first the Torah has to say you're not allowed to do it.
Yes.
Where does the Torah say you're not allowed to do it? So the Chachamim say, from the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
But Rav Meir learns this out to teach me they get Malkus and pay. So now it's not extra anymore. So the Gemara is asking a very simple question. According to Rav Meir, how do I know you're not allowed to lie in as a witness? The Pasuk in the Ten Commandments that teach me you get Malkus. Where do I learn out from that you're not allowed to lie? In Edom. So Gemara asks Rav Meir, "Hazad aleidim zeimimin minale." Where do I know you're not? The Torah warns you not to be. In other words, as follows: you can't get punished. Kids know this for sure. You can't punish a kid if you never told him you're not allowed to do it.
That's right.
If you never told him you're not allowed to do it, you can't punish them. Parents could, but that's because parents could do whatever they want. But the Torah doesn't punish if they don't warn you. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim, I know you're not allowed to lie in Edom, because the Ten Commandments says don't lie. But the Rameh says, that pasuk teaches me they get Malkus and pay. So how does the Rameh know you can't be in Edom Zeimimim? So the Gemara answers, Amir Rabbi Yirmi says, Nafkali, he learns it out, Mi anisharim yishmo v'yiro v'li yisifu Ed. The Torah says, by Edom Zeimimim, when you punish them, or you kill them, whatever you do to them, that everybody should hear and never do it again. So that pasuk already tells me you're not allowed to do it. So that's how I know you can't be Edom Zaymim. So the Gemara asks the Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, that I learned that from the Ten Commandments, you're not allowed to do it. So why does the Torah say don't do it anymore? So Gemara says, what do I need that for? So Gemara says, Ahumi boile, then I need lahachroza. Top of the page, lahachroza. What does it mean lahachroza? The Gemara says, when people become Edom Zaymimin, Bezin has to publicize this is their crime. So the Gemara says, v'rameyed. So how does Rav Meir learn that you have to call it out if he uses that pasuk for something else? So he says, hachraza, the calling it out, he learns out from the words yishmo v'yiro. And from the words v'leyesifu lasis, that they shouldn't do it again, that teaches me you're not allowed to be Edom Zaymim. So the Gemara bottom line is, everybody has a pasuk that says you're not allowed to do it. Everybody has a pasuk, you have to publicize it. The only argument is, Rav Meir learns that Edom Zaymim pay and get whipped, and the Chachamim say, no, Edom Zaymim get pay and don't get whipped. Next Mishnah is very simple and very interesting. What happens to two Edom Zaymim? It's a very simple Mishnah. What happens to two Edom Zaymim testify that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000? And then they became disqualified. So they have to do what they wanted to do. Does each one pay $1,000 or each one pays $500? They wanted Reuven to pay Shimon $1,000. That's what they testified. Reuven owes Shimon $1,000.
Is it a testimony of two
people? Yes. One does not extract money. One makes you swear. If I come to you and say you owe me $1,000 and I have two witnesses, that's it. You pay me $1,000. If I have one witness that you owe me $1,000, so the Torah says one witness is not strong enough to extract money, what he makes you do is you have to swear that you don't owe me the money. And a biblical oath, it's one of the three biblical shvuas. If you swear that you don't owe me the money, then you don't have to pay.
He has to have at least one witness? Or
one witness. No, if I don't have any witnesses, the Gemara says you swear a rabbinic oath. It's called shvuas heses. That's midrabanan. There are rabbinical oaths and there's biblical oaths. Now what happens though if the one witness testifies and you can't swear against the witness? You can't swear against the witness. I'll give you a simple case. I come to you and say you owe me $1,000. You say, you know what? I don't remember. And I produce one witness that says you owe me the money. Now that one witness is obligating you to swear that you don't owe me the money. But you can't swear you don't owe me the money because you don't know. What are you going to swear? You can't swear I don't remember. That's not an oath. You have to swear against the witness. Right? Can you swear? No. Because the only oath you have to swear is that you don't owe me the money. You can't swear that. So then the Torah says you have to pay. Or there's another classic example. I go into your house. This is called Naschad Rababa. I go into your house and steal a becher. Well, I take a becher. A silver goblet, whatever. Anything. You come to Bez and say, hey, what are you taking? You're stealing from him. And I produce one witness that I remember which I took from you, whatever. Yeah, you produce a witness that I took the money, the becher from your house. And I say, yeah, I took, but it's mine. It's not yours, it's mine. Now, the witness is obligating you an oath that you took it. You have to swear that you didn't take it. You can't swear you didn't take it because you said, I took it, but it's mine. You have to pay it back. In chotfe v'didi chotfe. I took it, but it's mine. So you can't swear against the witness. But this case is two Edom come and say, Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. Then they became Edom Zaymimin. So what did they want to do? They wanted Reuven to pay Shimon $1,000. So what's the din? Does each witness pay $1,000 or each one pays $500?
I would say $500.
That's what you said.
They only wanted to exact $1,000.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. What happens if two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon? So they want Reuven to get killed. And then they became Edom Zaymimin. Uh-huh, so what do you do? Kill half of them?
Kill both?
Yeah. So why by money do you say each one pays half, and by death they both get killed?
Because you can't kill half.
So maybe nobody gets killed.
Maybe not. Nobody gets killed.
So that's what the Mishnah is talking. It's a very simple Mishnah. Mishalshlim b'mamin. Here the Mishnah says Mishalshlim, which means literally that some people could divide it and define it Mishalish as a thirding it. But Mishalshlim b'mamin means you divide the monetary obligation. V'mishalshlim b'makis by makis not. Meaning, if two witnesses, like remember before they said he's a ben grusha, ben chalutza, or whatever. So what do you do to the witnesses? You give them malchus. Does each one get half of 39, or each one gets the whole 39? So the Mishnah says each one gets the whole 39. But by money, each one pays half. Ketzad, and by the way, the Gemara is going to learn out from a pasuk. The Gemara Ketzad, the Mishnah explains the case. If two witnesses testify that Reuven owes Shimon $200, and they became Zaymimin, the din is Mishalshlim b'neim, each one pays only 100. And obviously, if there would be three witnesses, each one pays a third of 200. But what happens if two witnesses testified that Reuven ate chazer? Mm-hmm. Right? So they're saying basically Reuven has to get malchus. Then two other witnesses say, hey, you guys were with us, how did you eat them, Zaymimin? The din is called Echad ve'echad le'kabam. Each one of the witnesses gets
40.
This is 39. Abayim here means until the 40th. That means, it's a very interesting din. Money is divisible.
Yes.
And malchus and death not. So the Gemara asks, Minohani Mili, where do I learn this out from? Where do I learn that each one gets full malchus? Maybe, just like by money, each one gets half, or pays half, maybe each one should get only half malchus. Because both witnesses together wanted to give Reuven 39,
yes,
not 80,
yes,
or 78. So why should each one get all of it? Why doesn't each one get half? What's the difference between malchus and money? They would both agree. They both agree to get one more, to get 20 rather than get 39. You know what I mean?
Supposed to be 40 anyway.
So the Gemara answer Amar Abaye. It says Rasha b'chay v'malkis. By malkis, the Torah calls a guy a Rasha. Okay. And when Bezdin kills you, the Torah also says the word Russia. So by Malchus, the Torah uses the word Russia. And by death, the Torah uses the word Russia. Mala halanei Misa lamachsa. Just say by Misa, you can't do half Misa. You can't kill the guy halfway. Avkani Malchus lamachsa. So Abayu learns what's called the Gzeder Shava. Here it says Russia. Here it says Russia. By death, it says Russia. Capital punishment, and by Malchus it says Russia. Just in capital punishment, you can't give a half a death. By Malchus, there's no such thing as half a Malchus. So if each one is obligated Malchus, they got to get the whole thing.
Why is it 40 minus 1? When it comes to Malchus, why is it 40?
The Gemara learns that we're going to see later.
39.
We're going to see later in the Gemara. The Gemara learns it out. The Gemara learns it out that 40 means until the 40th.
Until the 40th, but right. Not the 40th.
Right.
Because 39 is a very unique number. You know, it's
13 times 3.
Shemachad.
Echad is 13 times... Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting number.
Rava answers a different answer. Mm-hmm. You know why by Malchus, each one gets the full Malchus, and by money, half? He said, because Binikash Yezamim Lassis Lachi Veleka. The Torah says, you do to each one of them what they wanted to do to the brother. Now each one wanted to give him malchus. So right away the Gemara says Yochi Mamin, but by money should be the same thing. So the Gemara says Mamin Mitztarif, money adds up, meaning two halves make a whole. Malchus Loi Mitztarif, malchus don't, meaning as follows. One of the concepts of Adam Zaymerman is, from the logical perspective, is if two people wanted to make him chayiv money, him pay money, so, and they're liars, it's only right they should compensate the guy. So, what's compensation? He should get altogether what they wanted him to pay. So if they wanted him to pay $200, why should he get $400? He should get $200. But if they wanted to give him malchus, then each one should get malchus. There's two opinions why malchus is different. Abaye says the reason is because a gzeir shava, just like you can't kill a guy halfway, you can't give half malchus. And Rava says the Torah says you got to do what they wanted to do to his brother, and that's it. Now, what does this mean? So the Mefarshim explain. Today, get a little bit, to explain this a little bit better, the Mefarshim explained as follows. Monetary compensation is that the guy should get what they wanted him to give. He's getting what he got. Yeah. Malchus, he's not getting anything. Malchus is a punishment that deters giving the witnesses for lying. The guy they testified against is not getting anything because these guys get whipped. So the Torah says, you did an aveira, you get whipped. Rav is saying money is not a punishment as much as a compensation. As long as the guy gets the full amount of money, it doesn't matter if two people are paying it or three people are paying it, as long as he gets compensated. I'll give you an example. If two people beat somebody up and therefore he can't go to work and there's damages, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the din? The guy was out of a week's work. He lost $1,000. So why should each guy give him $1,000? We beat you up together. Two people beat him up. Together, they caused him to be a week out of work. They don't have to give him each one $1,000. He lost $1,000. Together, they have to give him $1,000. Adam Zemim monetary is compensation. Adam Zemim Malchus is a punishment. And punishment is no halfway. You get punished, you get punished. Next mission is also very, very simple. The Gemara is going to explain what Edom Zemimin are. And the Gemara says, Edom Zemimin is not when you testify. We learned this at the beginning of the parak, really, orally. Edom Zemimin is not when you dispute what they say. It's you dispute they themselves. If two people say Reuven killed Shimon, and two people say Levi killed Shimon, they're not Edom Zemimin. Because they're not disputing the witnesses. They're disputing what the witnesses said. Hazama is when you dispute the witnesses. Two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon in LA. And you come, you say, maybe Reuven killed Shimon. We're not disputing that. We don't know. But one thing we do know is, you guys were with us in Hawaii on Monday morning. So then you're not disputing what they say. You're disputing them. And that's the definition of Edom Zemimin. If you dispute what they say, that's not Edom Zemimin. It's called one group versus another group. They cancel each other out. There are no witnesses. Nobody gets punished. Nobody gets anything. But Edom Zemimin is you dispute themselves. You're saying Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in LA. We're not saying maybe he did. We don't know that. We're not disputing what you said. We're disputing your personality, so to speak. Your talking is wrong, because you guys weren't there. That's what the Mishnah says. Ein Edom Zemimin. The Edom Zemimin don't become Zemimin Achi Yizum Es Atzmam until they become themselves no good. And the Mishnah is going to say, Ketzad. Amru Me'idem Anu Be'ish Pleini Shahareges HaNefesh. Two people say, Reuven killed Shimon. Amr Lam and two other people say, Eichata Me'idim. How can you testify? Shari Nereg that Reuven or Shimon were with us. That's not Zemimin. And this is interesting then. It's very simple. What happens? Reuven, two witnesses come and say Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in LA. Reuven killed Shimon Monday morning in LA. Another witness, another group of witnesses says, what? Reuven couldn't kill Shimon Monday morning in LA. Reuven was with us in Hawaii. That's not Adam Zimmerman. Because they're not speaking about the witnesses themselves. They're speaking about what the witnesses said. They said Reuven killed Shimon. We are saying that's not true because Reuven was with us. What is Adam Zimmerman? Not that Reuven or Shimon weren't there.
No, but
you guys weren't there where you're testifying about. That's Adam Zimmerman.
That's the difference.
That's what it says. Ketzet. Amram Eden Nefesh. Two witnesses say Reuven killed Shimon. Amram, the second group, says, Eichatem Eidim, how can you testify Reuven killed Shimon? Neragze Shimon, or Heregze, or Reuven, Imanu Aisayim, B'mar complain, we're with us in Hawaii. Ein Elu Zeimimim, they're not Eidim Zeimimim. Because again, they're disputing what the witnesses said, not the witnesses. Av Amram Lehem, but if the second group says to the first group, Eichatem Eidim, how can you testify that you saw Monday morning in LA Reuven kill Shimon? You're with us in Hawaii Monday morning. So then they become Adam Zaymimim and they get killed. What happens if people kept coming, more groups? This is a crazy thing. Reuven and Shimon, two witnesses, group one. Group one says Reuven killed Shimon. Yeah? Group two comes and says, how could you testify? You guys were with us. Yeah? Group three comes and says what one said. And two comes to three and says, three? You guys were with us in Hawaii. Four, group four comes and says Reuven killed Shimon. The same group two comes along and says, four? You guys were with us in Hawaii. Yeah? The Chacham hold you always believe group two. Even though they're the same guys that are disqualifying everybody else. The Yehuda says, Istinis Yizu. This is a, as you call it in the English. Yeah, the group of plotters. Well, liars. That means group two made up, we're going to disqualify everybody. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you only kill the first group, that's it. All the other groups are already, they're liars. Group two is liars. That means everybody says, if two disqualifies one, and three disqualifies two, and four disqualifies three, and five disqualifies four, you always believe the last group. Here, two disqualifies one, two disqualifies three, two disqualifies four, two disqualifies five.
Believe two.
So the Buddha says, what is these? A bunch of liars. What is it? Disqualifying the whole world? Chachamim say no. The Torah says, you believe the second group. If two disqualifies one,
yes,
you believe two. If now three comes and two again disqualifies three, you believe two.
Hey, does two get disqualified in here or not at all?
No.
No.
If it's liars, then why should...
Well, how do you know they're liars?
We don't know.
We don't know.
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda says something's wrong over here.
So why should we believe them? Why should we kill group one? If we think something's wrong.
So now the question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even group one shouldn't get killed.
That's right.
That's a good question. The Gemara is going to discuss that.
Well, all of them should get killed.
Huh?
Well, all of them should get killed.
No, if Rabbi Yehuda says they're liars, why should he kill anybody?
But if he disqualified all the other groups, I mean, they were all liars. And you're going to blame group two at the end, right?
According to Chachamim, yeah. Not according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Because according to Chachamim, you kill everybody.
You kill everybody.